Well, life on a farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. My tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Yes, it is our monthly update where we check in with our good friend and farmer, Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, and find out what's going on the farm. Ryan, welcome back, sir. Happy Good Friday.
Good morning, y'all. How you doing? Happy Good Friday to you.
Doing great. Doing wonderful. We got a lot of stuff to get to with you. Let's start with some of the news, and then we'll get to what's going on for you on the farm. Obviously, farming has been a lot in the news lately. The governor just signed the farm bill. There's a lot of elements to it. I have not read it, so I'm counting on you to tell me what's in it, what matters, what's good, what's bad. What do you think?
It's good. The state farm bill, excuse me, the state farm bill is good. It's just more so to help protect the farmers. It's common sense stuff you wouldn't believe. Like there's a law in there that will allow us to always be able to use gasoline and diesel.
Oh, we're gonna have to check in with Ryan again real quick because we just lost him on the phone. But he'll call right back. Hey, listen, one of the things that we prove, if nothing else, whenever we talk to Ryan, is the cell phone coverage in the north end of Santa Rosa County is what do I want to call it? Terrible. So, hey, Ryan, you got your back, brother?
Yep, let's try it.
Yeah,
there
I know.
That's the story of my life right there.
I was just going to say, this is a great, whenever you drop off because we're talking to you, it's like a reminder to people that the cell phone service in North Santa Rosa is not good, but that is a fact of life that farmers deal with all the time, and it interrupts you in a lot more significant way than just interrupting some guy on the radio talking with you. So it's a good reminder. Anyway, you were saying about the farm bill. First of all, it allows you to use gas and diesel-based engines instead of having to convert to electric, which is common sense.
Right. That's something I can't believe that we had to spend time and effort and all that to make a law to protect us from getting our gas and diesel engines taken away from us. That's the kind of stuff that bogs things down and makes it so hard for all of us, not just agriculture, just for all of us to do our jobs. It's like, I don't understand where some of this non-common sense stuff comes from anymore. But,
right.
But that's a perfect example. So there's a lot of stuff like that in there. There's a lot of conservation type stuff, protecting rural lands, you know, different things like that. So it's a good bill. It's kind of a different bill than the federal bill, you know, that comes from Washington. So it's a very good thing, and basically it just helps us be able to protect our livelihood.
Speaking
of the way I look at it,
No good idea. That's good. I was just thinking about in conservation, since we're talking about that a little bit, Rhett Rowell and the county commission recently created. I want to praise this because it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It feels like it's a little bit more celebration than substance because the amount of funding increase that's going to go into this is sort of to be determined. But the push anyway is to try to conserve farmland in Santa Rosa County. But you're much closer to this than I am. I know they talk about talking to you all the time and getting input on it. You tell me what you think of the deal that they've made.
I think it's good. You know, we've talked on here many times. I truly want to protect farmland, our way of life, our ability to feed and clothe ourselves. And it's bigger than a Santa Rosa County issue, right? We're just talking about it in Santa Rosa County, but it's all across the country. I mean, we're already down to less than 2% of the country's population are farmers. So we can't get much lower and still be farming, which we've talked about before as a matter of national security.
Right.
But I also don't want to be, excuse me, the person that tells you what you can and can't do with your land. I don't want it to get to that. So I've said many times before, I just feel like we have to have a lot of options, a lot of tools in our toolbox. So if somebody does want to protect their ag land, they can. I don't want anybody to be forced to do anything. I want it to be completely voluntary. I want it to be an option, but I want it to be a viable option. And conservation easements is one way to do that. So what Rhett and them have done is provide a way that farmers or people that own ag land, it don't have to be a row crop farmer like me, you know, it can be a pasture land or a forest land, but we can, they'll have a program where you can get paid some money to sell your, to put land in conservation forever. So now you still retain ownership. The landowner still retains ownership of the land. They've just given away their right to ever be able to develop it. So they've been paid some money so that that land will be in conservation for the rest for eternity, basically, if that all makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just an option.
It's another
tool in the toolbox if you want to do that. And still, you can sell your land later or whatever, but it'll just have a conservation easement on the deed.
And so, you know, you have various, like, there's a handful of different tactics for doing this. There's outright sale of the land. That's not what you're talking about. There's transfer development rights, or as you say, conservation easements on there, restricting what you can actually put on the surface. Because, as you've said so many times, once you plant houses, you never plant anything else. And this would essentially, you pay the farmer off for sacrificing the profit potential of getting the land sold and or developed into, you know, residences or businesses or whatever. But it's a way of protecting it and compensating people for the promise that it will always be protected, which it will always be protected. And I am certainly on board with that. That makes all the sense in the world to me, because we do have to think about this strategically and as a national defense priority as well. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, you may have heard we got involved in a war in the Middle East. It may have affected fuel prices. It just when you protected yourself from having to go electric, you turn right around and now fuel prices are way up. I assume this is yet another day of great blessing for the ease and profitability of being a farmer.
It is. But one more thing before we move on to that.
Oh, sure.
Andrew,
yeah, yeah.
I want to bring up about the deal that Rhett and the county commission are doing and that I think is important for people to understand. And I don't have all the real numbers, but I can tell you how it works, and I want people to understand it because it's important. Let's just say that the county said, all right, we're going to fund this with $1 million. Well, that's not the end of it. That is the important part for people to see. If the county puts up $1 million, the state might put up another $1 million or two, and then the federal government might put up $3 or $4 million. They match all those funds. So, a little bit of money on the local level in the end, it turns out to be a lot of money. And I think that's important. That's another important piece of the puzzle that people need to understand about what they pass.
Absolutely.
So it's voluntary, and a little bit of money turns into a lot of money.
At the end of the day,
we've conserved farmland.
We see this be the case that, you know, you can bring a lot more money to the table from outside sources if you put up a little of your own, you know, locally. So, no, leverage is a great tool in this toolbox. Fuel prices, how I know it's bad. How bad is it for you?
It's really bad. On February the 17th, we filled up our tanks there on the farm with off-road fuel for $3. It was $3 even. That's what we paid. Yesterday it was $5.29 a gallon. So that's 76% increase. And we've talked before, you know, economic times on the farm are as challenging as they have ever been. They're about as bad as they've ever been. And, you know, there's just really no room for hiccups like that. And it's a shame that, you know, really, they should never be able to raise the price of fuel enough to make it where it literally hurts you on your farm. Your farm should be able to sustain something like that. That's just showing you how rough things are right now, that just the increase in fuel prices could really make a big difference on your outcome at the end of the year on your farm.
Now, I know
you should be able to absorb that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know inputs are always a concern, and you have no control over them. And we've talked previously about what the tariffs are doing to them and so forth. But this one especially, what'd you say, 76%? And that, you know, for people who may be kind of new to this conversation, the farmer, you, cannot just turn around and, you know, when you finally do harvest your corn or your peanuts or your cotton or whatever, you can't just turn around and increase the price by so many dollars per bushel in order to get, or bale or pound, in order to get the compensation. In a normal business, look, if you're paying more for, you know, wood, then you're selling houses for a higher price. And if you're paying more for, you know, engine parts, and you're selling cars for a higher price. The farmer who's paying more for fuel is selling his cotton for the same price, right?
That's exactly, yes, or lower. whatever they tell you, they'll pay you for it. So, yeah, I mean, that fertilizer's gone up over 50%. And right now is the time of the year, you know, that we're using, we will use pretty much in our area in the southeast, we will use all the fertilizer we use from about March through June or July, and it'll be over with for this year. So, you know, it's not like we can wait till later when the prices go down to feed our crops. We have to do it now, and it just happens to be when the prices are the highest. So there's no way to mitigate that.
Is that tariff related? That's not war related. That's tariff related, right? The fuel is war related. The tariffs are the fertilizer's tariffs.
No, it's war related.
Oh, okay.
They've gone up that much since the war started.
Wow. So it's
big deal.
So fertilizer, particularly, this is like twice in a year now. The government shutdown killed you guys on the loan program. That delayed a lot of your payments back that you then owe to the bank. Now on the other side, you know, we're involved in a war that may be over within a month or two. It may not be, but you're getting hit again with the kind of inconvenient timing. You know, that's happened. That's affecting you both on the price of diesel and also on the price of fertilizer. Wow. Okay. All right, well, happy days. anything else you want to tell us about?
No, I want people to know. I mean, it sounds bad, and it is bad, and I want people to know the truth. But, man, I'm still the most blessed guy you'll ever meet. I'm so lucky to get to do what I love, and somehow at the end of the day, God just always makes things work out somehow. It's just like right now, we're in a major drought. We're about... This year on my field, I keep up with it all electronically. Most of my fields in this area here have had about 6 inches of rain since the beginning of the year. Our 10-year average on those same fields is 14.8 inches.
Good Lord.
So we're about to start planting. We're starting with a major drought. You know, Papa always said, you never want to start the year with the ponds dry. If you look around all the wet weather ponds and things like that, all the ponds and the rivers are dried up.
Yeah.
It's not a good start. So, you know, we're all concerned about that. I hope everybody will pray for us and send us the rain that we need and the sun that we need, and that we just really need to have a good year.
What are you getting ready to plant right away?
We just finished up corn this week. So we're through with that. It's planted, and a lot of it has already come up. We've worked hard on it for about the last week or so, and we're pretty much shut down now waiting for rain. We can't get our plows into the ground because the ground's so hard. Mm. So, and there's not enough moisture to plant. So as soon as it starts raining, we get, and I don't mean like a quarter or a half inch rain, you know, we're going to have enough rain to really get into the ground and make the moisture meet and get it where we can get back to work. But once that happens, within the next couple of weeks, we'll start on peanuts. And then just a few days after that, we'll start on cotton. So the year will be begun.
Well, and for people who, again, are kind of new to this conversation, it's a reminder that, you know, in Florida, we don't do irrigation because we have plenty of rain all the time, except for just not right now. And so it's not like you can turn the sprinklers on and loosen up the ground and plow because you've done that. You're literally waiting on God to open up the heavens and make it happen. So we got fuel prices are up. That's bad. We got fertilizer prices are up. That's bad. The rain is way down. Based on my quick math, I'd say it's about a third to two fifths of what it normally should be. So that's bad. We're waiting on that to figure it out. But it is Good Friday. Easter's a coming, you know, and for Christians, God's on the throne, right?
That's right. So, amen. That's it.
You always like to end with you always like to end with a farm fact. Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, I was trying to tie it all together with what we grow and, you know the drill. But so, you know, when I was a kid, Easter eggs were real eggs. Mm-hmm. They came from chickens. Now they come from petroleum. Like, most of them are plastic that I see all the kids playing with. But anyway, I was trying to tie it all together. We were planting corn, chickens, eggs. But 12% of all the corn grown in America goes to chicken feed.
Huh.
So I'm trying to tie it all together. Two thirds of pretty much all chicken feed is nothing but corn. So
all right, there you go.
12% of our corn goes to feeding the chickens to make the Easter egg.
So you make the jeans my kids wear. You make the peanuts that go in the peanut butter and the candy bars that my kids eat and I sometimes eat. And you also make the corn somewhat that the chickens eat that goes to make the Easter eggs. Your omelets and of course, your chicken fingers and all of that kind of stuff. Okay, all right. See, we depend on the farmer in 1,000 different ways. Ryan Jenkins, he's the owner of Jenkins Farms in Jay, Florida. Ryan, I love that you exist. I love that you do what you do. I know your whole community enjoys hearing you on the radio, and I appreciate all of them as well, and you represent them, and it's important to be reminded of where all this stuff comes from. Thanks for feeding and clothing my kids, brother. We'll talk to you again next month.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. I hope everybody has a great Easter, and I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir.